It is Saturday, September 21st, 2013. We're broadcasting, not live, but from Santa Cruz on the central coast of California. This is KOSP Public Radio 88.9 and KOSP.org. This is a pre-recorded show. It's time now for Geek Speak. Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gap between geeks and the rest of humanity. I'm your host, Lyle Troxell. Please keep in mind the views expressed during Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KOSP. My name is Lyle Troxell. In the air room with me is Lindsay Lonnie. She's a systems analyst.
Good morning.
Support engineer and software engineer. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
We also have Al Luckow. He's an area man and new media architect. Wait, what's area man about?
Yeah, I'll tell you that because it's a little bit of a fame thing now, and I don't want to brag, but I want to brag actually. I was listening to NPR, which of course we're on, and I was listening to Morning Edition, and it was an interview with the Onion, the fake news organization.
Yes, that's fake news.
Yeah. No, that's real news. they were talking to the editor-in-chief, Will Tracy, and he was talking about how, they came up with the idea for The Onion and all that kind of stuff. And one of the things
I got to listen to that episode.
Oh, it's funny. And he talks about a lot of the Midwestern ethic. And one of the things they talk about is the area man. Whenever you see whenever they have stories, it'll be, area man memorizes all his shortcuts in Word, or
area man
likes to think of himself.
They don't name a person; they'll just use that for the headline.
Area man, not for the squeamish. They have all these different headlines about area man, and he's just the local person, and so this editor is talking about this guy, and he says, "Yeah, we just think of this person as area man from in the Midwest. This guy from like Mundelein, Illinois." Which
is where you're from.
Where I'm from.
He decided to take on the accolade of area man.
I've never heard that town ever in the context of any type of news ever anywhere.
Right.
And here I hear it on NPR about The Onion, which I, of course, love.
Well, so, I don't think of you as just an area man.
Not
I
onions. Think of, no, don't misquote me. Not onions. I don't love onions. I like The Onion, the
Wait
newspaper.
A second. You actually hate onions, right?
I hate onions.
You've got the gene that makes onion taste like soap or something?
You know what? Onions taste the way they do and smell the way they do because it's a defense mechanism. They're trying to get you not to eat them.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm not an onion lover, no.
So you're okay with a plant trying to not to say, don't eat me.
I think it should try to defend itself, but and I will respect that and not.
It does taste like a chemical or something.
Yes.
Like it's like you're eating soap or something.
I think if you tasted what I tasted, you wouldn't eat them either.
I agree. I mean, I know that everybody's body's a little different. Mm-hmm. Cilantro has an effect on people, too.
Yes.
Do you have the same thing with cilantro?
I used to actually think that whenever I put cilantro in my mouth, it tastes like I was licking the inside of an inner tube.
Interesting.
Have you ever licked it?
It tasted just... Well, not lately, but, how do I know what that tastes like? I don't know how I know.
No, we've all done
that. I know how it must taste.
You know how it smells, so...
Yeah. No, but I have a feeling like I've tasted... I think it may have been from... I don't know. Yeah. I know that rubber, powdered rubber taste.
Yes.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you've ever been dragged behind a boat in one of those things, you've tasted it at some point.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's probably what it was.
High back tasting.
Yeah.
I don't have any of those. I'm so lucky. I like all foods.
You are lucky.
But then again, I have weight problems. So there you go.
That's good.
You just can't wait.
Yeah.
I wish sugar tasted bad to me.
Wouldn't that be great?
So there's another onion story just to discuss, Al. Discussed, Al? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Not
perfect.
that's the intention, I'm sure. But
yeah.
Lindsay, what's going on with onions?
I don't know if you've ever been to India, but apparently they love to put onions in their food. And there's been a shortage because prices are rising, and it's making them a hot commodity. So Groupon in India recently offered a deal on onions at discounted prices of 9 rupees per kilogram.
Is that discounted?
I'm not sure what the rupee to US dollar conversion is. I'll have to look that up for you. But yes, apparently that's a great deal. So it caused the Groupon site in India to crash due to the massive demand for onions.
Yep.
Can you imagine?
I love it.
Yeah.
So now Groupon's that site that, and I've never really used it, but they give you coupons basically,
mm-hmm.
and then you socially share them, and then more people go to the place, and it's like a whole share and get more people to your business. And I hear businesses go out of business because of it.
I think it's time based. You can't, you know, yeah. Groupon is good for a certain amount of time.
So this deal must have been great. It was only one coupon per person, mm-hmm. and it just spread like wildfire.
It swarmed them to get the onions.
Went down.
Yeah.
Apparently, they sold about 3,000 kilograms of onions in about 44 minutes.
Ew. Al, it's lunchtime.
That's gross.
44 minutes?
Yeah. And more than 8,000 kilograms were bought over, like, over 17,000 users bought that
oh
many
my
onions.
Gosh.
Yeah. Crash the site out there.
Man, they made some serious money, though.
Yeah, no
I wonder
kidding.
If they can deliver the onions at the high rate. They'll probably lose money on this one. Oh, that's the thing about Groupon, though, is that Groupon doesn't lose the money. The restaurant
the business,
loses the money.
Yeah, yes. Or whoever offered the deal. Mm. I guess you'd have to be careful if you were a business offering deals on Groupon.
I think sure you do.
I've never heard of anything crashing Groupon in the States, though.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we just don't love onions that much.
I guess not. Or they don't do group, or they know better than to do.
So does the imagery of thousands and thousands of onions being delivered to people's homes and people eating them and their food just kind of disgusting.
No,
did we do it or not?
I'm probably going to have nightmares tonight. So, you know, just the thought of that.
Well, that's half my job, Alice, to make you uncomfortable.
Well, it's working.
Okay, good.
What's the other half?
I don't know. To get uncomfortable by, I got anything to discuss me, Al?
Yeah.
I don't know. The bug in the ear thing was...
Yeah, that was pretty bad. So you do have a story that's kind of disgusting to me, actually.
What? Not like it's not like an onion story.
No, it's a real story.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's a real story. It's about drinking your own sweat.
Yeah, that doesn't work for me.
Mm. Well, that's too bad.
Oh man.
So in Sweden, they created this sort of a prototype device. It was built by an engineer named Andreas Hammer. And he had built this device. I guess it's mostly off-the-shelf components, one of which is a clothes dryer. But what they do is they've taken a bunch of sweaty clothes from people who are working out, and they put them in there. And then this machine is able to extract fresh drinking water from it.
Uh-huh.
I think they say that they need to get like a pint of water. It's distilled water, basically, is what it is.
very salty
but
distilled water.
It takes a lot of sweaty clothes to really get like a pint. I don't know how they quantified the clothes, but they said 500 people have tried it out.
Didn't they taste the water afterwards?
They said
maybe like better ways of getting water than removing it from body.
They said that the water was tasty. The guy says drinking one's own sweat may seem odd, but it came. You know, long space voyages would require astronauts to recycle, you know, urine and sweat and all that kind
right.
of stuff.
Okay.
So
for space travel,
it's actually a funny kind of weird thing to think about. But you know,
I would rather drink a lot of things. And the thing is, I think I probably would be fine with a recycled recreation thing and drinking it. I mean, theoretically. Material that gets processed like that is cleaner than it was when it, was first consumed.
Right. Who knows where,
the body makes a diesel term.
Yeah.
So next time I go to the gym and they've got water in the case in the front, I wonder where it came from.
You know, there's a lot of scarcity of fresh water in different regions of the world, but there isn't a scarcity of, sweaty clothes, I guess. I don't know.
Moving on. I hope nothing's that bad from here
on
out.
This is from Discovery. I found this story. So it's Discovery News. So it's
all right.
They use some kind of centrifuge or something.
Well, it's been almost 10 minutes and we haven't brought up any social networking. I guess Groupon's kind of social. But Al, you got a Facebook story for us by chance?
Yeah. It turns out Iran's entire cabinet has joined Facebook, which by itself is a little strange, but it's even stranger because Facebook is banned in their country.
Oh.
Yeah, you can't actually get out of
normal citizens can't do this.
Well, no, they're not technically legally allowed to, but everybody has some trick to get out into the internet. And every single person has a
including the ministry. So,
yeah.
The executive branch, if you will,
Yes.
Yeah, it's breaking the rules.
What are
they putting on Facebook?
I don't know. I don't see any links to their Facebook things, but they do say that all of the cabinet has liked the president's page.
So the president was like, I don't have likes, and everybody added themselves.
Yeah, so no. It's a little weird. I think maybe it's maybe it's their baby step into saying we're going to open up a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, it's still illegal, so that's what's very strange about it.
Okay, in a second, Al, I'm going to ask you all about things you shouldn't write in emails.
True.
Okay. But first, Lindsay, I don't want to totally shock you, but you'll notice that in front of me, my phone is an Android device. I've switched.
Gasp.
I know. And now you've been using Android for a while. Do you like it?
I do. I love it.
And you're happy that you're not doing the iOS thing? You've never done the iOS thing.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I'm happier just because I haven't done the iOS thing. You know, and I've gotten this through work, and then I've bought some of my own, and I like how customizable they are. There's a lot of websites that, you know, give you hacks and apps.
Do you
apps
like
and
doing that, though? Do you like spending time making your phone work the way you want?
Definitely.
Well, she's a pro. I mean, Android is basically Linux with a custom C library.
Yeah.
So that's basically what Android is.
I have a phone that I've never done any hacks to, and that one works great, too. So it's not like I need that in order to make it work well.
I'm using a hacked phone, I mean, just because somebody installed it for me. But you know, I switched to Android only because of Google Glass. And I mentioned this last week, but since I finally have someone that has Android and has it for a while, I have a lot of frustrations with it. I also have a lot of, like, things I love. Mm-hmm. Like, in iOS, the stupid things. Like, in iOS, the built-in podcasting software for iOS is really bad. Apple's podcast software is just not a great one. But there's a really great one that I use for a long time in iOS. And the one thing that would happen every once in a while is if I wasn't playing podcasts for a while, it would reset to use the music player. And so I'd start up playing a podcast, and it wouldn't be. Android device doesn't do that. It's always the podcast that I was listening to. It never switches back, which is kind of cool.
So it just stays where you left it.
Yeah. I mean, things like that, little tiny things. It crashes more, which is not good. So it's like, oh, this is nice, and now the phone's crashing.
It's great. It's great when it works.
Yeah, it's great when it works.
I had one phone that used to crash all the time, and then once I upgraded it, it stopped doing it.
So. Yeah. The thing about it is that I've got an old phone a friend loaned me, and I know if I bought a new one. But then, of course, the whole announcement today, we're recording today, the day of the Apple announcement, so we'll just say that it just happened, but we don't know a lot about it. Al, did you watch it today?
Yes.
And are you, like, way into, have you ordered one, the new phone yet?
No, I didn't. Actually, the phones, I think they're saying that they're going to be available on the 20th.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too.
And that's the 5...
So yesterday,
5S, and there's the 5C, which is going to be pre-ordered. You can pre-order on the 13th, which they didn't say when it was exactly going to ship. The 5C, I think, is more is the lower end phone, and that may be the phone that opens it up to people who don't want to spend a lot of money.
Okay.
And I think it's the one directed that they're going to be selling in China, which of course is, I think, yet to be fully disclosed.
Yeah. I think that if Google Glass worked the same way on an iOS device as it does on the Android device, I'd switch back to iOS. There's not enough on it for me to go, yes, there are some things I like. You know, it's back and forth. I think I should probably try a newer phone, and maybe I'll change my mind. But let's talk about email. Al?
Yes. Email has become part of our lives to a great extent, and to the point where we're checking it the first thing we wake up in the morning and the last thing we do when we go to bed. But there's a lot of things that are said in email that are getting kind of old and corny. And I found this site that says, here's 5 phrases you should never use in an email. And one of the first
Is this going to be inappropriate for the air?
No.
Like swearing and stuff?
No, these are just...
Just not appropriate because it's like, well, go ahead.
Well, I hope you are well. Okay. You know, basically, don't pretend that you care about me. You know, I hope you were well. I mean, maybe if you were sick and I said that would be, you know, a lot of people say, I hope you were. Another one is, I thought I would reach out, which, you know, that expression became popular. It's just weird. You know, I thought I would reach out, and it's just become overdone and overused. Another one is, can I pick your brain?
Mm-hmm.
Which is sort of rude to ask if I can pick your brain, because I'm asking to take something from you and give nothing in return, which is the same thing as another phrase, bounce an idea off you. And then, of course, there's the fifth one. Sincerely yours.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like,
a work one.
Why would that ever be in a business email? Sincerely yours. You know, hey, the Victorian era ended 100 years ago, okay?
What is this terminology in writing? When you a cliche, mm-hmm. right?
These it's cliche. They're cliches and
kind
just...
Social cliches.
Yeah, and it was kind of interesting little thing. This is from Fast Company, so they're businessy.
I think it's true that people should think more about the emails they write. I mean, I can't stand some styles of emails in business. It's not normally the sign-offs that upset me. Mm-hmm. It's the length and rambling.
Yeah.
The truth is, the email should not be much longer than a text message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've got a really complicated thing to say, Is email the right form for that? I don't even know.
Right.
Maybe
yeah.
it is. Maybe you can have long form emails, but at least please put the topic points mm-hmm. somewhere in the subject line yeah. or right up at the top I know what it's about.
These are bits, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Summary and action items at the top.
Yeah, this is where I like yeah. it in work, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
What about ping people? You know, I said that the other day. Hey, ping me. And then I was like, oh, whoops. I don't think we're supposed to say that anymore.
Yeah. No,
it's
I don't
so 90s.
Yeah. This is Geek Speak. I'm Lyle Troxell. In the air room with me is Lindsay, Lonnie, and Al Luckow. Everyday man. Al Luck. Is it everyday man?
Area man.
Area man. Area Al man, Luckow. Yes. And Lindsay, Lonnie, systems analyst, programmer, and such. We are not taking calls today. We do take your emails throughout the week. Anytime you'd like, you can send us email at geeks@geekspeak.org. But if you do that, what you should do at the same time is go up on Facebook or Twitter or Google Plus or whatever and like us and plus us and tweet us or whatever. Share the love a bit. If you'd like to write a review on your favorite podcasting network of our show, we'd much appreciate that. Well, I should say, if you like the show, you should do so. If you don't, don't tell anybody. Geek Bits. Lindsay, you've got something that I think people need to see, but then again, you could describe it, so tell me about camping.
Sure. So the flame stower. It almost looks like flame thrower, flame flower, but it's the flame stower. It's an affordable, portable solution for energy on the go, as long as you have a fire going. So it captures
traveling fire.
Right. It captures excess heat from cooking or campfires and charges your USB powered devices. So its design claims to allow for easy setup, charging and storing. And basically the way it works is it has this long blade that comes out. It calls it a blade, but it's just like a metal stick. And the thermal energy is you stick that in a fire mm-hmm. and the thermal energy is transferred to what they call the thermoelectric generator, the TEG. Yeah.
The differential electronics creation
exactly.
device. Yeah, they have one side hot, one side cold, and lo and behold, electricity.
And that's how it works.
Okay.
Opposite surface, contact
with water.
Can you
really charge anything with it? Is it enough power?
It says that it does. Hot and cold, and it uses the temperature difference to generate electricity, and so it's got a battery, and it just stores everything.
I don't want to be blatant here, but I do have a fire pit in my yard, mm-hmm. and that would be cool.
You should
to
be
have.
Charging your phone.
I should do that.
Just take your Android phone and throw it in there.
Yeah, I'd be happy.
And that'll work.
Tell us how you really feel, Al.
Be charged right up.
Somebody has Apple stock.
I do, actually, so.
Disclaimer.
Okay. All right. Years ago, Al, I started a couple years ago, I started a spare idea website where mm-hmm. I would, when I had an idea of a business or an idea or something like that, I would just put it on a blog and write it up and then submit it into the ether. It's mm-hmm. called Spare Ideas, mm-hmm. with the idea that I know I'm never going to do this thing, and maybe somebody will. Mm-hmm. And I think, Al, you and I have chatted before about this idea. And then you found this wonderful site that does this. So yeah. Tell me about it.
It's called Side Projectors, and it's basically when your project never really got going and it sort of got abandoned. You maybe even started a company and just didn't get going or whatever. But it had merit. You can put it on the site for sale. Or a lot of people are seeking co-founders. So for example, I'm looking at the site now.
Oh, cool.
And there's things on there like a card forest, a web application that lets users learn programming by defining and playing card games. That company is seeking a co-founder. Another one, BTC-L, it's a Bitcoin lottery system that allows you to host lotteries for Bitcoins. That one's going for $300.
So these aren't necessarily expensive.
No, not, this one is, and they say right here they've already got PHP, JSON, and LEMP, Bootstrap. It's all built, So you're actually buying the code. A lot of these cases, some of them are $34,000 for the Hippies Hope Shop.
So this is kind of like Kickstarter, but without really good video.
Well, it's actually some of them have videos.
But also you're not sponsoring the project. You're buying into you're making it part of your
you're
company.
You're going to buy this product. Like for one of them that sold
is
it was called Winstagram, and what it is you when you're drinking.
Wait. Winstagram.
Winstagram.
Lindsay,
yeah.
You got a guess? What does it do?
I send you wine in the mail. I don't know.
No.
Oh, okay.
What's your guess?
Winstagram. Well, it's definitely some kind of sending messages or something around wine. Mm-hmm. The label's reusable in some way. Mm-hmm. But Instagram sounds like Instagram.
It's photos.
So it's photos. Mm-hmm. So you're taking pictures you take your Instagram photos and they put it on wine bottles.
Okay, so yeah. So this is one of the things I saw in here, and it's actually somebody bought it. I don't know, it was like $10,000 or whatever. They've already got the code running. But basically what it is you're having wine with some friends, and then you take a picture of yourself and your friends having this bottle of wine, and then you send it to Winestagram. They send you a number back. You write that number on the cork. You save your corks, and you have this collection of corks with numbers. And then you take anytime you feel like, oh, remember that bottle of wine? You take the cork down, type the number, and you can see a picture of the day you drank it and who you drank it with.
How much is that one going for?
Well, it sold.
It sold?
Yeah.
Sold?
Yes.
I'm doing the wrong thing. How much? Did it have stuff with it? Is it one of the ones that actually had a fully functional site?
It's fully functioning, yeah. It was a fully functioning thing. And
okay,
somebody
said, please tell me that sold for less than $1,000.
Oh, no. I'm sure. It might have. Yeah, it might have.
Oh, it doesn't say.
This is when I was researching this initially.
Yeah.
And
that's the one you remember.
Since then, it's sold. It said it was sold.
Did you buy it?
No, I didn't buy it. But there's lots of things
in here. It's kind of a cool idea that I can definitely see that someone spends some time investing in something and they want to get some kind of return, and then maybe somebody else will take that idea and run with it.
Yeah, there's one here it says Seeking Co-Founder. It's trackingdiet.com. And basically, they're tracking macronutrient, vitamin, and mineral intake. It's built with PHP, MySQL, with Cake PHP on top of it. So it's they have a URL.
Yeah.
They've got code. You're buying a thing.
Okay, I got to say, I'm going to be pointing people this direction.
Yeah, it's called sideprojectors.com.
What do you think, Lindsay?
You can post your project,
So it sounds like you're getting code, a little bit of marketing, and an idea, and then if you wanted, you could run with it or even go to Kickstarter with it and do something more.
Yeah, probably a URL,
So the marketing.
It's kind of cool. Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I think that when I've had my failed projects, I hold on to the domain name for a long time. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much all there is. So
It
makes more sense to kind of feel like, here's the idea and everything I've got. Enjoy. Yeah.
Who has time for side projects is what I want to know.
No kidding.
As we're doing geek speak. Come on.
This is true. Bye, guys. I've got a new project to do.
In fact, I'm going to start putting geek speak on that site. Let's see if we can make some money. I don't even know if I want to talk to you about this one because it just sounds wrong for radio. So I trust that you will do it appropriately. You have a dog.
Yes.
You like the internets.
Mm-hmm.
You live in the country, not in the town, but I could see this being very useful in the town. I have no idea how it works, but the operative word here is poo Wi-Fi.
Poo Wi-Fi, yes.
Please describe.
It's the next new thing. Well, it was done by a Mexican portal called Terra, and they created this project where, apparently they have a lot of problem with dog poop in parks and stuff. So they built this device that you can put dog poop into, and it gives you a few minutes of free Wi-Fi. They say basically they don't tell you exactly how many minutes. It's probably 15 minutes, but it calculates the weight in exchange for minutes in Wi-Fi. So, welcome to the 21st century.
Sorry. I was trying to figure out the conclusion here where they actually used the dog's stuff. And then I realized it's about picking it up.
Yeah.
They're paying people to pick it up by giving them free Wi-Fi.
Basically, that's what it does. It turns on, and then you get a code, and you can use your Wi-Fi. Oh, I'm going to go down to the park, pick up some dog poop, and, I got to check my email.
What would stop people from putting rocks in there?
Well, they have they
have a sniffer?
It's a device. So, and then it's got a number, and there's also a thing that they have a person that stands to ensure the device is used properly. they're being funny. Anyway, during the day, hostesses stand beside the boxes handing out bags to dog owners. So
they're trying it out.
They
right
give
now.
You the See bags and they try to promote this whole idea of that. They're keeping their parks clean and checking their email.
I'm always pushing the idea of micropayments, the idea that I'd have some kind of amount. I could just give 10 cents here and there really easily.
Yeah, right.
And
micropayments.
Right. But I would much rather that feature of being able to go someplace and spend a few dollars to get Wi-Fi than pick up other dogs.
Well,
but, it's kind of a cool idea. I think it'd be neat if it cleaned up the park.
Very clean. Nothing wrong with that. No poop in the park.
I don't think I've ever needed Wi-Fi that badly. Hopefully, I don't.
You don't own a dog, do you?
Yeah. No.
See, I own dogs, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah. Once you start doing it, it's just
you got a
normal.
Big dog, Al, don't you?
Yeah.
So, okay. That's an insane idea that sounds like it would sold on that site you just mentioned. Right? So I was like, I know what we'll do. That's genius. Yeah. So we put a whole bunch of money into it, building.
Yeah.
Oh, it's sad.
Yeah.
All right. So the question I've got for you is, in 6 years, will anyone ever even remember that idea of picking up poo and putting it in a can for Wi-Fi? That will just not exist, right? It'll be free because it's Wi-Fi anyway.
Well,
so it's crazy.
Unless they discover a new energy source there, I don't think people will ever remember that. But
true.
A lot of these little companies get forgotten.
You mean startups?
Startups, yeah.
Like which, what?
Well,
you have a startup that I always remember because your car license plate is your startup.
Yes, Kerbango, yeah.
Kerbango.
Which actually...
Internet radio.
Yeah, internet radio, the first internet radio, and I was in that startup around the turn of the century. But we got acquired by 3Com for $80 million after 2 years. So
that's a successful
that
way
would be
to
called
go
a success.
To close. Yes,
yeah.
That does work.
And then after that, soon after that, the bubble burst and all that. So it
good
didn't
time,
really become
timing,
the thing. Yeah. But the thing is, there's a lot of small companies out there, small startup. As a matter of fact, the startup I was in after that did fold.
That was the car one with Waz.
It was a Wheels of Zeus.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, but just to mention a few of these things, and these are names that, you know, were around. These are companies that had buildings and employees and people going there and, you know, carrot cake for, hey, it's Hank's birthday. And it did all that stuff. And I'm just going to name a few of these and sort of, it almost would be good to have like funeral music.
Oh, the funeral music. I was thinking like Wayback Machine kind of thing.
Yeah, Wayback Machine. Wayback Machine would be good too. There's one. There was one called Sonar, an app to find people by you who you don't know but should know. Okay, that one went
that's
out.
That's interesting. It sounds a little bit like Foursquare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of those similarities.
Uh-huh. One called Skylines, a personalized photo stream based on topics and keywords. Deja, a flashy interface for video discovery and consumption.
That sounds familiar.
Yep. It seems like I remember it. Charisma with a K, a video chatting app that connects you with people nearby. That's dead. Another company called Arrived. It's a location aware social planning app that tells you what to do now that you've arrived. Spends a tracking app with a reward system for usage. So the more you use the app, the more you get rewarded for it. I mean, some of these are, you know,
some of these are just folded into big companies now.
Nope,
they weren't bought, but the ideas.
Yeah,
right?
I cleaned out the things that were folded into other companies.
So these just died.
These died. MePorter, a citizen journalism platform aimed at hyper local news. You know, a lot of these, they sound like good ideas, you know, and they were companies, and it's like, you know, you could almost do like a sitcom of Silicon Valley companies that just, you know, there was a time when they were like, you know, you were, you know, you had a fashion thing going and you were selling exclusive fashions and you're flying on the Concorde. And,
yeah, the thing about that time, that startup time, is that you'd run into, everybody was doing that, and you'd run into these people that had these ideas, you'd be like, that's insane.
Right.
And the same person that failed those, the next person was Google. Like, it felt that way, where sometimes they took off and sometimes they gone. Mm-hmm.
Timing.
Well, that's why neither you or I have... I'm willing to bet you haven't seen the Facebook movie.
I've not watched the Facebook movie.
Neither have I.
No.
Neither have I.
You know, I was there.
We were there, and we actually did all that stuff.
You should see my old sketchbooks from before Facebook, where I was designing that.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, you know, we did that stuff, and we can't look at it now. Yeah. But, there's so many of these companies that just had good ideas, but just whether it was the wrong time or, you know, they didn't have the right, you know, boisterous personality or whatever.
I've heard of a good place to put these.
There's a
website where you can put your ideas
they
and
took
sell
old,
them.
Took the site. If somebody has stole that code, they still have it somewhere. They put it up, try to sell it.
Exactly.
That's
great. Yeah, there's
reduce, reuse, recycle.
It would be a cool thing to you could have a whole. There's so many of these companies.
You know, there's things like this that I sign up for these things when they start up, right, and then forget about them. But one that I signed up for a long time ago, I signed up for Twitter really early, right, and I was telling people about it, and no one knew. That's why I've got my handle of my first name.
A short blurb that who's going to want
to
follow?
That's so many people
crazy.
About it. Like, you should join me on Twitter. And people are like, what are you talking about? It's like a birdie thing. And people would tease me about it. And now I've got this name, you know, got my first name on Twitter. And I feel very proud.
Right.
And nerdy.
Yeah.
But the other one is like is it Goodreads? What's the reading one? You guys, are you part of that?
Goodreader? Well, that's an app. There's so many of those things. Was that one of the things you signed up for?
Yeah, and just friends have joined it now, and lots of people use it to track books. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, right. Yeah, I have heard of that. Yeah. Still around?
Yeah. It's kind of leading into the question of, do either of you read regularly? Because we have a couple you've got a couple book stories here.
Yeah.
I thought we'd lead into books. Oh. Lindsay, are you reading anything lately, or are you working too hard?
I'm working a lot, but what I do is in the evening sometimes when I'm trying to wind down my brain, I have an app on my phone that will read audiobooks to me.
Oh, cool.
And so I just do that and let it read books to me. Otherwise, my eyes get tired from staring at my computer all day
and
staring
been,
at a book.
Quote, reading, quote, unquote.
I've been rereading the classics, like Jules Verne and stuff
that.
Oh, that's cool.
Because they have them for free on Google Books. So you
are
can
they
just
read well,
them.
Or is it just a text-to-speech engine? Or
it's pretty good. It's an engine, but it's pretty good. You know, I'm not picky about that kind of stuff. Some people are really affected by the voice and different things like that, but me, it's more the content that I'm interested in.
So you listen to them in the car or while you're working or?
Just sleeping. She sleeps all the time.
I am just constantly asleep. I listen to them in the car and at home.
So
if I'm cooking dinner or if I'm doing something where I'm using my hands or I don't want to sit in front of my computer, then I just let it read to me.
So you read at the speed that people speak.
Mm-hmm.
Basically.
If I read myself, sometimes I read slower than that because I have to make sure I don't miss any details.
And Al, you listen to books in the car.
Oh, I'm going through I've heard every single podcast and books. I've gone through almost the whole Game of Thrones.
I can give you an archive of Geekspeak episodes since 2000 if you want some CDs of that.
Well,
you can learn all about USB.
Yeah,
but it's SATA.
It is a lifesaver. I mean, in a way, you're stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what? You know,
we really should be commuting together. It's kind of silly.
Yeah.
So, okay.
However, given the time that you have to read.
Yes.
That reminds me of a book I read about.
Okay.
There is a book, and it's by an Argentinian publishing house. And it's written in disappearing ink. And it fades away in 2 months' time.
Is this like a copyright infringement thing?
This is a real book. And it's dubbed, it's an Argentinian. El libro que no puedo esperar. But it's like the book that can't wait. That's the translation.
Oh.
And what it does is if you don't read the book, you lose the book.
You don't read the book.
So you got to start reading. So as soon as the book is cracked for the first time, the ink begins to age, and in 60 days, readers are left with nothing but the covers and a bunch of blank pages.
So, yeah, I thought from the title that you gave me, I thought it was a copyright infringement thing, make sure people don't take books and share them or something. But it's to incentivize you to read the book you've bought.
Yep. So you buy it,
that's
better
fantastic.
Read it within 60 days or it's gone.
Yeah.
You know? So it's kind of you think about it like, well, it sounds like one
cool.
of those.
I like that idea because I definitely go, oh, I'm going to buy this book. And then that sits on my shelf behind the three others that I'm reading that I'm not exactly reading.
Someday I'm going to read that book.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Not cool. I like that. Very cool. And you had another book idea.
It's on Amazon. It's called Practical Duct Tape Projects.
I like that it's practical.
And you can make a lot of things from scratch out of duct tape. You know, wallets and purses and all different kinds of things. I think it might be associated with Instructables a little bit, or at least the guy that the guy that illustrated it is the same guy that did the Instructables logo because it all looks like that Instructable guy.
That's a good – I like Instructables.
You can make bags and totes. You can make different pieces of hardware.
That's a lovely satchel.
Suitcase. Yeah, look at that satchel. I've got these little things.
All right. We'll put up these links on there. That looks like a briefcase. I mean, that looks pretty nice.
It's a briefcase, and they tell you exactly how to do it. Some of you have to use, like, some washers.
Have you ever made a duct tape wallet or something? The problem with duct tape is that the edges of it start to get gooey, and then you get gooey gunk all over the place.
I've made quite a few things out of duct tape unintentionally.
I see.
You know. Wow, look at that. That looks like an elephant. You know, once I peel all the duct tape, when I used to peel all the duct tape up after peeling wires off the floor,
you
bit in a big ball.
Right. And you're like, oh, that's
I've
nice.
Made many soccer balls out of duct tape.
No, it's hard to
that
carry
you can then play with. You know, so.
Yeah, I tried to do the whole use gaff tape or duct tape to make wallets at one point because, you know, it's hip and they're just gooey and gross and nasty.
Yeah.
Like onions.
Just like onions.
Onions are delicious.
Lindsay, got another story over there? I'm not sure if you do.
I don't have anything on my list. I can look something up for you.
No, I'm good. Al's got this amazing collection, so we'll just
He had such a long collection. I figured I would go along for the ride here.
There's, you know, it's not, we wouldn't need this for Lindsay, but there was a couple of wacky inventions that I came across.
Yeah, like picking up poo for Wi-Fi?
No,
that's not one of them?
That's not wacky.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
These are wacky.
We're in trouble now.
Yeah. Well, this one's called a speech jammer.
Okay, hold that thought. This is Geek Speak. My name's Lyle Troxel. In the air with me is Lindsay, Lonnie, and Al Luckow. And Al Luckow, unfortunately, is telling us about crazy inventions. Actually, that doesn't sound disgusting, at least, which I'm kind of excited about.
No, it's not good.
You can, of course, ask us questions throughout the week at geekspeak.org. You can learn more about the show up at the website. And, of course, when you're online thinking about us, please do rate us and all that. If you like us, rate us on the social networks and all that and kind of spread the word. We're trying to get more listeners, and you can help. It's quite easy to do so. A review on iTunes goes a long way. Al, please.
Okay. Well, this is called a speech jammer. And it's an actual device that somebody's built, and the inspiration came from whenever you're in like a place and you hear somebody chatting away or something like that in the room, mm-hmm. I guess you could say a library or something like that, and you just want them to stop. Well, this guy built this, the inventor, okay, here we go, Katsutaka Kuihara and Koji Tsukada.
Okay.
These are the two people that made this sort of prototype invention, and it's got a direct...
Let me guess what it does. As people are talking, it just goes really loud in their ear.
That would be another invention that probably something, I think the military has something like that.
Ah, okay.
This one, it's got a directional microphone, so it can pick up the sound coming in, and it adds a 0.2-second delay and then fires it right back at the person.
Oh, cool.
With the help of a directional speaker. So basically, it's a delay between when the person says something and they hear their own speech.
It's a phase delay.
Yeah.
So you cancel out
and
their sound.
It would mess with a person so bad that they would soon be rendered speechless.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So it gives their own loop feedback thing.
Yes.
Okay.
So
not a cancelization, but more.
And they show it in, we'll post this link. But
you get a video of it?
They show it in use. I mean, the thing, they have it. It's... I think if you pulled this thing out in a room, people would go, "What the heck?"
Everyone would stop talking.
It's like as big as like it's bigger than one of those radar detectors that the cops use.
Yeah.
So it's a little.
I like that.
Hoopty,
like,
but
you pull it out and people stop talking and they're like, "What is that?"
Yeah. It's the kind of thing I could imagine Woz doing as a practical joke.
We did this in science club in high school where you ask people questions but you give them their own voice back with earphones. It's very hard to understand what's happening when you speak to yourself. I'll do it for you later.
Maybe it's not that wacky.
No, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And you start listening to your own voice delayed. You know, you've ever had a like international call or something like that?
Yes.
It's very distracting.
It's quite. I remember having to talk when I was a kid to my sister in the Philippines, and back then the phones weren't really that great. This was the 70s. And you'd talk and then you'd have to wait. You'd hear an echo of your own voice and then you'd hear them start talking and then they would echo.
Right.
And it'd be like, what?
Right. It's like a telegraph phone calls.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's crazy. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. You've got one more crazy.
As long as that wasn't whacking it for you. They also have some goggles that make food look bigger. And the point of these is to help you lose weight. And this is another Japanese invention. And
That's a webcam.
Well, it's once you pointed out to me when I showed you the picture, you said that's a Logitech webcam on there. It does look like that's what that is,
but it's not. It's goggles that make your food bigger.
Well,
I think they're using that
as the input, but they said it makes the food look bigger so that you're fuller faster.
Oh yeah,
and they said, but if you read the I think it's translated from Japanese, but it says after testing them on a group of two men and women. The researchers found that the slimming goggles helped the subject eat 9.3% less cookies than normal.
Oh, that's not much less. 0.7% less.
Well, it was a group of two men and women, so,
I dropped a crumb.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because, of course, the thoughts we have about food is very much controls our diet.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that if it looks bigger to you. Of course, if you normally wear that a lot, then... It would not work.
You could do it. Well, you couldn't even do it with your Google Glass, actually.
No, I couldn't. Unless I closed one eye.
These goggles are crazy looking, in this picture. They cover your face, and but that to me sounds like a pretty wacky thing.
Absolutely.
Wacky invention, yes.
Well, speaking of wacky inventions.
Okay, please.
If you've got time. This was one I was going to talk about before and ran out of time on. Designer Katarina Unger is on a mission to make eating insects irresistible. Have you seen this device that she made?
No. Who says it's not irresistible now?
Exactly. It is for most of the world. It's a great source of protein. But here in the States, it's, you know, kind of considered unappealing.
Oh, you mean for people?
I think it was the idea is people would eat them.
People yes. eating them, yes.
Exactly.
That would be weird.
Yes. Well, she developed this appliance that incubates insects for human consumption. It's blue and white, and it has this sort of, you know, Mac look to it. It's really slick looking and pretty uh-huh. and shiny. It's stocked with 1 gram of black soldier fly eggs, and over a period of 18 days, the eggs move through the chambers, gestating, reproducing, and producing eventually 2.4 kilograms of nutritious, if not slightly nauseating, fly larva. And then you can use it to, you know, make different kinds of food, and it's all sanitary and everything. So it's a high protein thing. And she says she did this for a thesis project.
Yeah. It sounds like school to me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so she's saying, you know, by the time we're at 2050, we're going to have like 9 million people on the planet. And then the practices of the way we, you know, have meat now is not sustainable. So
yeah, I mentioned earlier that I'm doing a carbohydrate diet. And I got to say that in doing that, one of the things that comes up, especially with vegetarians, friends, they're like, you know, that's not sustainable. You can't have the entire planet eating meat. And I said, no, but you could have them eating fat and protein as long as it comes from insects. And then all of us go,
right.
And I think, yeah, but the only reason that us Americans have a problem with that is because we weren't raised doing it.
Right.
Really, humans can eat insects. It happens all over the world. It's yeah. a delicacy. I hear that grasshoppers taste a lot like shrimp.
I've eaten a lot when I'm riding my motorcycle.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I don't think that's not intentional.
Not intentional.
That's why you ride your motorcycle.
I'm still here, and, you know, they must be. You know, they really, we are going to have to think of some kind of food source.
Yeah, I mean, and insects are a great one. I mean, yeah. they turn plant material into proteins and fats quickly. Mm-hmm. It sounds, that purpley thing that has maggots crime it, yum.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Tasty. And she's got a recipe book.
You know, the thing is, I have a story. So I'm making oatmeal cookies with my sister years and years ago, and we'd found the oatmeal on the shelf way back behind, mm-hmm. and we cooked the oatmeal, we've made all these cookies, and it's like the second or third tray has gone out, and we're cleaning up and putting the oatmeal away, because the last, my sister's just scooping out the last dough onto the last sheet, mm-hmm. and I pick up the bag to tie the tie, and the bag just crawls with larvae.
Excellent.
Yep.
And then I look over at the bowl, which is empty, and then the pan dish, which has the fresh cookie dough on it, and then into the oven where there's a sheet coming out, and then into the bowl that's going the other room, and then into the other room where everybody's eating them and loving it. And I just took the bag and threw it in the garbage and didn't tell anybody.
That's like one of those.
And I didn't eat any cookies.
That's like one of those movies where they zoom in on the person's face and everything
exactly.
gets blurry around it.
Yes.
And things go white.
And then, you know, as soon as I kind of processed all of it and then realized I was the only one that knew, I just kept it that way.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Eat insects. That's the idea here. Mm-hmm. Gosh, this really is a disgusting show.
Yeah. I know.
It's really yeah. bad. Onions to maggots. By the way, the site that I was thinking about was Goodreads. And mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends that read that are connected to me, and I know they're all reading books, and I feel bad. But if you do read a lot, Goodreads is kind of a cool way to share it, because you build you up your library, and then you're able to see other friends that also read the same books, mm-hmm. and then you know, potentially had a chance to talk about a book that you've both read.
It's called Goodreads?
Goodreads. Goodreads.com. Oh. And I signed up for years ago and totally forgot about it until mm-hmm. all of a sudden I started getting announcements. Your friend has signed up. Hmm. Because, of course, when you sign up for a service like that, you can set up your address book scan, and then they know that they know you, and, you know, something like that. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a cool idea.
I've liked the idea of it for quite a while. I just don't read enough mm-hmm. books to really take advantage of it.
Yeah, I don't know
All
why
right.
you have time to read.
You've got one more story that I think we should hear about, and this is going to help me next week. Oh, you've got two more stories.
Well, it could be whatever one you want.
The one I was going to talk about is I'm going to go to France next week, and last week, because we're doing the show in the future.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I don't speak French. Can you help
Oh, out? That's right. You could get a specific translator device. They have this, and we've talked about translators before. This one's called the Sigmo, and it's billed as a voice translating device that will revolutionize the way you are able to communicate and understand other languages. So basically what it is it's a hardware device that connects to your smartphone.
It's more than a microphone?
It's a separate unit, because
box.
We've talked about translators and apps, you know, that you're able to say, oh, say this, and then, you know, it'll come back in Spanish. But this is supposed to be a lot better, and it's got, you know, a dozen. It's got Sigma allows you to talk to 25 languages.
Cool.
So you're able to talk into it, and people can talk back to you, and you can hear the translation. And, you know, it's another one of these translation devices. I mean, it's just one step closer to Star Trek.
Do you think it's going to happen eventually?
Yeah. I mean,
or
I think
TARDIS. I'd rather have that.
Yeah, the TARDIS would be a lot better.
Yeah.
Because that's so seamless. You don't even know. Ear. Just because you're associated with the TARDIS, you can automatically understand everything.
Or a fish. I wouldn't mind a fish in my ear.
A translation fish.
Absolutely.
Yes, that would be good.
Babelfish.
Yeah, that's what they call the babelfish.
Mm-hmm.
I know everybody listening knows what we're talking about.
Of course.
We're all, I don't know if you saw the
42.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw the Portlandia episode recently about the definition.
Watching. Is it worth watching?
I love that show. You know, and people are going to go, well, you know, sometimes it's funny and sometimes it, you know what? I love it because it's so different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they have a scene in it. Now, you can look it up on YouTube where they show this, you know, really sexy girl in some, you know, nerd glasses talking to some guy at a bar saying, oh, you know, I'm such a nerd. I went to the animation festival and I don't know what it is. I'm just such a nerd. And then the camera pans away to, you know, a guy who is a nerd. And he's like, hi, you know, my name is Frank. I'm a real nerd. Come on. Quit saying you're a nerd when you're not. You know, I'm wearing these glasses on my face right now because I need them to see. And when I take them off, I'm not a beautiful young girl. You know,
I'm lonely and sad and have no social skills.
Right.
I'm highly intelligent.
I'm normally much more pasty, except I went festivaling and I was running around in a field with a sword. it's just a great, you know.
All right. Okay. I'll start watching Portlandia. Mm-hmm. All right. Your last little story for today before we call it a night.
Little story. Okay. You know these little flying drones and things like that? Well, I have one here. It's called the Power-Up Snap Carbon Fiber Micro Flying Propeller. That's a pretty long name.
That is a long name.
It's but when you
is it one of these things that you charge up and it lasts for like a flight and a half and then you have to charge it again?
Well, this doesn't need charging. It's actually just it looks like a toothpick with a little propeller on it. And you snap your fingers, and then it flies up.
All right, that's cool.
But the little toothpick
is
carbon fiber.
Ooh. Read the name again. Then we have I have the picture of it. Read the name again.
It's the Power Up Snap Carbon Fiber Micro Flying Propeller.
Delicious. You heard it first on GeekSpeak, folks.
And I found it on ThinkGeek. And,
I was just going to say, that sounds like something.
Yeah, I love ThinkGeek.
It's, you know, just the description of this tiny little thing, you know, the world's smallest finger-launched propeller. High precision for amazing performance. Durable carbon fiber shaft and nylon propeller and rubber grip. You know, just...
Oh, it's perfect.
Yes.
Looks like a cocktail umbrella, but much more simple.
It weighs less than 1 gram. You know.
Well, thank you, Al, for the stories, for all the great stories. It's such a pleasure to have you on with us.
It's fun to be here.
Thank you. And Lindsay, thank you also for being here. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
We'll be back next week, as we always are here on GeekSpeak. GeekSpeak is a registered service mark by David Lawrence and is used with permission. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KOSP Santa Cruz. We're streaming and podcasting at kosp.org. You can find out more about this episode or any episode of GeekSpeak at geekspeak.org. GeekSpeak is Creative Commons Attribution 3.0, so please feel free to use it for anything you'd like as long as you give us attribution. For KOSP and for GeekSpeak, I'm Lyle Troxell. Thanks for listening.